Now, let's start. Now, this person asked three questions. I'm answering only one because that's the one that's a bit relevant to what we are asking. So, how do you and when do you hear from the Lord? Now, I will answer that quickly. Hearing from God is possible. You can't demand He speaks. He speaks when He wants to speak. That's number one. Number two, there's no method. Many times Christians try to teach methods. I've reasoned, there is no method. They say, pray till your spirit is silent. Anything you hear is from God. It's not true. When your spirit has gotten silent, your desire will wake up and it will speak to you. So forget those things, okay? There's no method. That's one. Number two, God is good. He's kind. When He needs to communicate, He knows the one you can understand. You will not come and speak Swahili to me now. I don't understand Swahili. If you are really my friend, you will speak the language that I can understand, which is English. That's one. Bear that in mind, okay? But having said that, the reason why people don't hear from God is not because He doesn't speak or they don't know how to hear. It's because they are disobedient to what He has said to everybody. They're not looking for special communication. I will forgive you if God says I should forgive you. And start praying that God will say I should forgive you. He will never say it. Pray from now till tomorrow, He will never say it. Any voice you hear is of the devil. He doesn't say such things to people. The message to forgive is clear. I hope you're getting my point here. Don't ever ask God, should I do what I know I'm not supposed to do? Once you know you're not supposed to do, you're not allowed to pray about it. You can pray so that God will help you overcome the troubles that come with it. Let me give you an example. Once somebody did a study in Lagos, going around, he said, will you sleep with your boss for promotion? Do you understand what that means? You will go to bed with your employer or your superior so that you can be promoted. One girl actually answered, I will only do that kind of a thing if God asks me to do it. Yeah, I'm serious. It wasn't a joke. Some were saying, impossible. How can? Some say, this is life now. You have to be smart. But the girl actually said, well, no, normally I wouldn't do such a thing. But you know, it depends. If God says I should do it, I will. Now, let me tell you something to you. If you ever ask God whether you should do such a thing, you will get an answer that says yes. You will say it is God, though. That's your problem. But you will get an answer that says yes. I don't like giving some counsel. If a young woman comes to me and says that my lecturer says I must sleep with him, otherwise I will fail his subject, and say, what do I do? I'll say, go and sleep with him. Do you want transport money to get to his hotel room? Take, go. That's a foolish question. But if you ask me with a sense of, how do I handle him? I don't know where I get the point. How do I handle him? And that is, as you are talking to me, we know that whether you will or not, is not a discussion matter. But how do I handle him? That's like what I will discuss with you. I will not tell you, go to his office. Tell him, sir, my pastor said you will die and not live. Then walk away. Those are the kind of things I'll start counseling you. Tell him that, sir, I was told, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Go and decode it. And you walk away. Those are the kind of things I will discuss. But to be asking me, you got... No. You don't go and ask God some very foolish questions. And that was why he told Balaam, go. Second time, Balaam said, should I go? God said, are you mad? Were you not the one yesterday that asked me whether you should go? And I said, the people are blessed. You can't curse them, so don't go. Why are you not coming today to say, should you go? Just because they have brought more money. So God said, in that case, since you are determined to go, you can go. And the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled that he went. Was not God that said you should go? Why was God angry? Because he heard what he wanted to hear. So let nobody harass your soul that God spoke to me. People sometimes hear what they want to hear. Again, I will recommend the book, Guided by the Spirit. I wrote one of our big books on that subject. And please, go and read it. If you don't read it, then you see your question is fake. It's not genuine. You really don't want to know. If you really want to know, go and read the book, Guided by the Spirit. Okay? Just by the way, our materials are available on the website for free because we want to make it easy to access. It's not because we can put some fee on it, but we know the process of paying, it hinders downloads. So that's why they are free. So please, share with everybody. That is designed to be shared. So please, download the book or buy a copy, Guided by the Spirit. I analyze this line by line. Dreams, Does God speak through dreams? Does he speak about through dreams today? Can you hear the voice of God? All those things I discuss inside there. Because dreams come in two categories. There are useless dreams, otherwise known as meaningless dreams, otherwise known as pointless dreams, dreams without a message, dreams, pounded yam dreams. You know what they call pounded yam dreams? When you eat too much pounded yam, you will dream. When you don't have to eat, you will dream. The Bible says so. The Bible says that sometimes a man is hungry, he dreams of eating. And he wakes up, alas, it was a dream. There are dreams like that. But there are dreams, what I call revelatory dreams, what the Bible calls visions of the night. So how do you know the difference between them? I discuss it in that book. So please go and read that book, all right? What is the difference between being persistent in prayer and praying repetitively? I cannot answer that now. Go to our website, School of Prayer. Go to the series, Persistent Prayer. We have a series on that. Download it, listen to it. I addressed it inside there. I can't do that now, all right? Apart from the areas of finances, what are the other areas good works can be done? Bros, I don't believe you asked that question. Good works. Preaching is not good work. Helping the needy is not good work. Coming early for this kind of program and helping us arrange is not good works. There are plenty. The Lord is good. Okay, let me answer this. Somebody said, what is the difference between dreaming big and having an ambition? Let me just summarize it. How do you balance ambition and purpose? All right? Working in purpose in the will of God. What I said is you can ask God for anything. Are you getting my point? Ambition is the pursuit, not the desire. Do you follow what I'm saying? Ambition is what? Is the pursuit, not the desire. And there's a way God helps us in life. You can have any desire. Like I said, it's not a big deal. You can have any desire. What God does is that he will now put things in our front. Help it that is deciding that we should make choices based on whether we are pursuing our desires or pursuing righteousness. As you know, when we're making the choices, we have to disobey some critical rules. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying there. That is, let me give an example now. What can I give as an example? Okay, you are blessing people. I'm preaching the gospel now. Are you getting my point? I mean, many of you have given me testimonies, how you've been affected by the word. I will get it all the time, okay? Then someone now tells me that he's going to give me a visa to go to a country where I will not be allowed to preach, where I won't preach anybody, but then I'll be practicing medicine and they'll be paying me $10,000 a week. $10,000 a week is good money. I hope you know that. That's $500,000 a year. That's a lot of money. And I've always had this dream and idea that I want to build something big. Have bigger ministry, have television stations. So I'm going to America to work for 10 years. In the 10 years, I don't preach again. My voice is silenced. Because there's no problem. Let's see what you will do, idiot. Just do something, let us. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. We always think of sin as if, okay, one big woman, say, be my, what can I be to a big woman? I'm too old to be boyfriend. I'm too young to be sugar daddy. I'm hanging somewhere between the two. But as she has money, she can give me $10 million. That's what most of us call temptation. But that's not all there is to temptation. There are times you just sell your voice. Many people, that's what happened to them. They want to sign a big musical album. They say, that is a label, contract. Say, but don't use the word Jesus. You'll be able to reach more people if you don't use the word Jesus. So they will sign that we won't use the word Jesus. And they hit. I see them all over the world. Say, God has blessed that man. No. He made a deal to remove the word Jesus from everything he's doing. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. So those are the times you now know whether ambition is pushing you. In fact, it was one of the things I wanted to explain. That's one of the ways you know whether you are serving God or serving mammon. Choices will be put in front of you. There are those who are in churches because they are waiting for promotion where the cow is bigger. And every Sunday, their conscience wants to kill them. They are made to preach what they are not supposed to preach. One day, one of my sisters, the pastor called her and said, please be praying for me. She said, why? He said, because I don't know which one I'm doing again. I have a feeling that God will just kill me one day. Why did he say so? He said, because last Sunday, that message I preached was not what the Lord sent me. Was sending the sister. He said, that one I preached on Sunday, that I had the message prepared, correct message on maybe righteousness. Then on Saturday night, I got a message from headquarters that we needed to raise 2 million naira. So I came to church on Sunday. I had to change the message to the 2 million naira message. So he preached the 2 million message. He raised his money. Then went to this sister there and said, ma, please help me. I have a feeling that one day God will be angry. He will just kill somebody. You know, God is kind. That first time, sure, you have opened your mouth to confess. He will forgive you. But then opportunity will come again. If you do it the third time, he will make up his mind that you have made up your mind that this is what you want to do. So the Holy Spirit will stop disturbing you. Then you get established in your ways, and then he will have to judge you. Those are the little differences between, you know, ambition and dreaming big. And I never said dream big. I said you can have any desire. Please don't misquote me. I didn't say dream big. What I said is what? You can desire anything. You can desire that I want my house where I park my shoes to be the height of this building, you know, three times this building, just for my shoes alone. But if your heart is good, God will cure you. No, don't worry. Within a short while, he will cure you very well. Are you getting my point? As long as you don't pursue it, that's the one he will. If you just like it, he knows you're a small boy, you're a small girl. You don't have sense yet. You will grow. It's when you start pursuing, it starts like, okay, I'm saving money to buy 75 shoes as the seed for my big house of shoes. I don't know what you're getting me. He said, like, are you okay? I just use that one as an example of how, you know, desire, you can have anything I desire. And sometimes when it is good, sometimes it's not what he wants you to do. But have the desire. He will correct you. But pursuit is what the problem is. When you start waking up in the morning, you can't go to church again. You can't come for meetings like this because you have said that before the end of the year, you must make 50 million. Then your ambition is a problem. I hope I answered that a bit. But I don't have enough time, please, to go into this one. Somebody said, the church is preaching more of traditions than the word of God. Can I live? Would I be living for comfort? That's not comfort, too. You're already having problems trying to live. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When we say comfort, it's more money, better car, house, you know, good road. That's what we're calling comfort. That you want to live to go and hear the truth of the word of God is not living for comfort, too. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is not living for comfort at all. When we are saying that doing things for comfort, we are talking about doing things because I want to have more money. I want to have constant power. I want to have a fan blowing me. I want to eat well instead of not eating as well as I would have eaten. That's what we call doing things for comfort. Please, you are getting what I'm saying. Living a place so you can hear the truth with your conscience is being defiled. It's not for comfort. Somebody said, please, Pastor, I'm born again, but I have done all these destroyer of destiny things. Now I want to know whether my destiny is destroyed. Please don't laugh. Can I beg you not to laugh? I want to beg you in the name of the Lord, please do not laugh. It's a very serious question. Now, I don't know whether my destiny is destroyed. What will I do? It's a very good question. In fact, I'm happy you asked because I was supposed to address this. That is why it says if anyone is in Christ, is a new. Somebody say new.
New.
Say completely new.
Completely.
That's why it's called second chance. That's what God Jesus does. He gives you a new chance. So that is why it is called what? A new creature. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You gave your life to Christ, those things were removed. Because that's what the blood of Jesus does. The blood of Jesus also removes the consequences. I mean, okay, was Nenugo, I told a testimony I heard recently of a young man who gave his life to Christ by revelation, that he encountered the Lord in a kind of vision or dream. This testimony really blessed me. Some months later, or some weeks later, I don't know how long, he had another revelation. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and said in a vision or dreams that, I want to heal you of an injury. The young man had gotten HIV from following prostitutes. But he didn't know he was fine. You know the way HIV behaves. He did not know. And God just told him in that revelation to go and get baptized in a particular, told him which particular river to go, which particular day to go there. And he got there not knowing anybody, but he found a pastor there who came for baptism. To baptize the church members. And the church member did not come. So this young man persuaded him, please baptize me. He did. And he was healed totally of HIV positivity. True story. God regrows human spare parts. Destiny destroyer has destroyed your destiny. Jesus the restorer has restored it.
Amen.
I don't think I need to say more than that. What the only thing he said is just continue in faith. Let me say another thing. Please don't attempt to pay for your own sins. That's the one that will kill you. Many Christians die because they are trying to pay for their sins. What do I mean by that? A man who, let's assume,
But that doesn't mean fellow is a useless musician. Singing bad songs, vulgar songs, jumping from one woman to another. Then one day, as a maybe 30-something-year-old man, he gives his life to Christ, truly. And he repents. Repentance is part of faith. Many people want to give their life to Christ without repenting. You are not saved. Let me preach that for 2 minutes. You are not saved. You just want to answer out our call. Continue your living your life. If you gave your life to Christ in a crusade, and there's a girl that's not your wife in your house, once you get back home, you drive her immediately. Don't say God knows that we're... God doesn't know anything. He said if you give your life to Christ, tomorrow morning this girl is no longer here. You have a business where people are coming to maybe like you and your friends, you are doing 419. As soon as you give your life to Christ, the devil is wicked. I know somebody did it too. You know the same person. After he gave his life to Christ, he dedicated his life to Christ. The man they were trying to defraud paid. I don't get my point. Assume that me, you know, Reverend Israel, Apostle Lokemute, four of us, for all of us that came from Enugu, we are doing 419. Then we now wrote one white man, he's about to pay us $500,000. I didn't know. And I went and gave my life to Christ. 2 days later, now Okemute come and say, Banki, what? They don't pay. So your Mugu don't arrive. You don't pay. How much? $500,000. How much my portion? He said, this is now your own $100,000. You know, we have five. Israel, Nduka. Okemute. And he said, Banki, take your portion. This man said, do you know what happened? He had just dedicated his life to Christ. Let's just give his life to Christ. Give it to God, I will follow you. He said, pastor today. So now the content and say, man, money don't come. Come and take your portion. He looked the money. This is how Satan speaks to people. You can use this money to preach the gospel. The man that has been defrauded, but you can preach the gospel with this one. Take the money, but don't do it again. Once you hear that voice, no, Satan is about to kill your destiny. He went to a pastor, and the pastor said to him, nobody who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is worthy of the kingdom. He said, this is the word of God. He told his friends, share the money, I don't want. You know, when he was preaching this message, I was there. He said, today as I'm talking to you, of all those five boys, I'm the only one still alive. All four, the rest of them had died different ways. They were dead. He said, I'm the only one still standing. I want to tell you the word of God. If he had taken that money, Satan would have dragged him back. He would have died with them. So we're talking about repentance. So if any man truly repents, God restores his destiny. If a woman truly repents, God restores that destiny. Let me say it again. That is the power of the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. In fact, I apologize for not emphasizing this earlier. And I thank whoever asked this question for asking it. It is crucial for us to know. God restores destiny. He restores destiny. I hope you've gotten the point. That's why Jesus died. He didn't die just to make you nice and churchman. He died so that your destiny is restored. The Lord is good. He said, if one having heard you and discovers he was being a Demas, what advice do you have for such a person? Go back to Paul now. You know, many people who are not in this country, that's the problem they have. It took them 5 years to realize their move was foolish. That's where pride now is, to come back and say, I made a mistake. Oh, I wish you would just allow God. The way God restores, if you give him the job of restoring, just come to him and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Don't even lie down and be crying. Just say, God, this is business. I was wrong. I'm not normal. You will forgive me. I'm your child. Where else do you want me to go? That's good enough for him. He said, you know what he said? Only acknowledge your iniquity. I'm not saying roll on the ground. I'm not saying cry. Hey, Lord, if I had known, I would not have done it. Because I've seen people who cried more than you. Go and ask Ahab. Ahab cried tired. He didn't change. Ahab, cry master. Sackcloth master. Go wear sackcloth, die. Change, now be the problem. That's all you need to do. Somebody said, My name is dash dash. I will not mention your name out here. He said, what is really the work of God? Like I told you earlier, I've written a lot of books and taught a lot of messages. I wrote a book titled How to Work for God. It's also available on our website for free download, and there are copies out there which you can buy. Please go and read it. The work of God is not only church. The first work of God is inside you as you are being transformed to the image of Christ. That's the most important work of God. Then the one you do outwardly is the second set. That second set comes in different, of course, righteous works, general righteous ones, a specific work for each person. I'm preaching now today is the work of God. All right? Now, listening to me is the work of God. When you live here, what you do with the word is the work of God. For some people, they're not going to preach. They're going to pay for this microphone, buy new lights, spend money for preaching the gospel. It's the work of God. For some, the work is I will start my business, employ 20 people, then 50 people. So that people won't be begging, they'll be working. And for them, if that company dies, they have failed God. The work of God is not only preaching. Preaching to your neighbor is the work of God. But that's not the only thing. There are many more things in life apart from that. That's the work of God. I hope you get the point. All right. Please read the book, okay? It's inside the book. I discuss all of that inside that book. Somebody says, how do I improve in the knowledge of God? I think, please just attend meetings like this. Read your Bible. Pray. There's one song we used to sing. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. It still applies till today. And I can always tell people, God has given us a lot of technological advantage. Let's use it. I have messages on my phone. Every time I'm idle doing nothing, I put on a message. I read books. All those things, they are methods by which we increase in the knowledge of God. All right? How do you know where God wants you to stay or work or even go to school? Well, let me say there are different ways to know that. One, God creates opportunities. Are you getting my point? It creates opportunities to do righteously. That is, you enter through righteousness. Confusion, if you have only one, let me give you an example. If I'm jobless, have you ever seen people say that they don't have work? They come to you ask for money. I don't have any work. Oh, what? I don't have money. Please give me money. You don't have work? No, I don't have a work. I've been looking for work. Okay. They are hiring people. You say, that's not my line. Have you heard that before? God has not spoken to me yet to go there and work. Like I said, God does not speak to jobless people. He gives them opportunity to work. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. God does not speak to jobless people. He gives them an opportunity to be productive, to work. They can't give you something to do. He say, see, if God didn't speak to you to work, I hope he didn't speak to you to beg. He didn't speak to you to eat. He has said, if you are refusing to work, please do not eat. Where do I work? Any opportunity you have, if you are not doing anything right now, that does righteously, and you can impact yourself in there, is work. You only start saying which one is God when there are options. I don't know whether you are getting my point. If there are no options, why are we having this discussion? If you're at home, you'll be at home for 3 weeks. 3 months, 6 months, nothing to do. You're a young woman. One man said, I just opened this shop, I'm selling cement. I need a trusted person to help me man it. So I have an MBBS, don't worry. I have a BSc, don't worry. Please go and sit down in this shop. Just tell the man, say, okay, I can't stay for long. Ago. Man, he said, we're giving you 18,000 a month. Is that not better than total hunger? You can only make a promise, say, please, I can't stay long because I'm looking for something else. But don't just sit around. 6 months, 1 year has passed, and still saying, God has not spoken to me. Please, this speech of God is for those who have options. One day I was telling Pastor Okemute, so I invited him to go and preach. I said, I bet I'll not get this kind of time. That, what do they mean? I won't tell you the details of how I mix my choices. Anyway, if you want to invite me to come and preach somewhere, and it looks like, okay, we'll give you 40 minutes, you come on a Sunday, I've never been to you, I won't even answer you. They are joking. What am I going to do? You were here today. I spoke 1 hour, 45 minutes yesterday, 3 hours today before I started answering questions. Someone now give me 40 minutes to come to their church. I've never been there before. I normally don't answer. Now I'm going somewhere. So they invited Pastor Kemuti, one of those funny invitations. And he was going to go. You know what he said to me? He said, okay, I never reached that level of just rejecting anything. He said, you can be doing that shakara of they didn't give me enough time. He said, this was some time ago. He said, this, so any invitation I make, give me, let me go. Are you getting my point? The man said, look, we're just building in ministry. You can't be doing this. And true. Those early days, campus people come, invite me, I go. Now, I won't even answer you. Because without your invitation, I preach 4 times a week. Without any invitation. I'm averaging 4 a week. I mean, without anything special. In Kingdom World alone, I do 3. If you add, that's not counting days of occur like this. So when you come, in fact, now you can go first, I praise. What are you planning? Ogano doesn't have time. Sorry. Give your invitation, but say he doesn't have time. Oh, our criteria is not money matter and things like that. Too. It's just things like, once you look like you have a jamboree and you want to fit me in, I don't answer. Saying, Sinach is coming. Nathaniel Bassi is coming. Who else is coming? Edwin. And then there was one, they did one day from Osoka. They put, this man will be, they not put Feladro Toye, all those ones. I think they wanted us to feel good that we are part of something big. They just gave him, can look, say, Pastor, we won't come. They look like, what? Say, Pastor, will not come. You people have too much lined up. You know, the whole place is going to be jamming. The Nasa started denying everybody. He said, no, this is our big boss, he's not coming. This one is not coming. They started denying everything. All the things they had, they started denying it. No, this one is not. No. He said, no, it's just Pastor. He got come looking. After they harassed him, he said, oh, God, please, just try and come. And now, when I ended up going twice, right, for them. Uh-huh. Because initially they thought, let's show that we are big. We are big. They don't know that I'm not looking for big things. I'm looking for where people want to learn, and they will give me enough time to teach them. Okay? Now, that just by the way. So, what does God want you to be? Please ask those questions when there are options. For now, if they just want, if God, you see, that one may not be God's option. That is true. Then you use an interesting method. Please read my book. I don't have time to go into details now. You use an interesting method to let you know that that one is not necessary. Now, it's in the process of Thanksgiving, my family, can we thank God in the house instead of going to church? Actually, you can thank God anyhow, honestly. But it's always good to celebrate with people. I don't know whether I get my point. Yeah, if you are doing it in your house, invite your friends. You don't have to be in church. I agree with that, okay? If you don't like the idea of show, if it looks like show to you, okay, leave it. But in your house, do it and invite your friends. It's always good to do things as a community. It's always interesting. I just feel like dropping that one, all right? I have distanced myself from my mother because she wants me to marry from our village only. Please advise on how to balance this without neglecting my duty to my mother. This is more than, no, I understand that. First, I don't think your mother wants you to marry from your village only. Shouldn't cause, you can disagree on that, but you don't have to distance yourself per se. What I mean is that I know some mothers are very, very, they are chinchy. You know what they call chinchy? They'll be biting you like mosquito. They won't let the matter be. I understand. So you may have to stop staying with them as much as you used to, visiting as much as you used to. But that's all. That's not really distancing. If normally you help her cook, you still come around and do your cooking. If normally you help her wash, come around once a week and do all of those things. If you are working, you have money, you need to send her money, you usually send her money. Continue. Anybody has any money to you, have not distanced yourself. Are you getting my point? Once a lot is connecting you, in fact, distance yourself from me. Just send the alert, okay? I don't. if you are my daughter, I like your company, but if I depend on you and your sibling for the thing, if you don't visit me, it's not good. But if your money is visiting when you can't come, no problem. We'll forgive you. We'll be praying for you still. No matter how angry we are, we'll still be praying for you. Anytime we say, Father, we thank you for this food, part of the Thanksgiving is for your life. So if it's like, you know, keeping company with somebody who's disturbing you with too much talk. Yes, you may have to do that. Sometimes it's important. But just continue to do your duties of praying for her, visiting once in a while, looking after her health, and giving her money if necessary. Okay? Can God's children be partakers in Nigeria's turbulent politics? Of course, yes. Is our vice president not a God's child? Uh-huh. That answer is already clear now, isn't it? If yes, can the church play any role? Your church will not campaign for you in Jesus' name. Say amen now. Amen. But they will pray for you. They will support you. They will counsel you on what is right to do and what is not right to do. That's the role they can play. If I'm the pastor of a church, I will advise my people who are interested. In fact, I'm talking to the people of God. Yes, if you have the Spirit of God and you are called towards politics, please move ahead. Just, you are not desperate. Are you getting my point? I will advise, make sure you have something you are doing. You're not a career politician that cannot eat unless you have a political office. That is the bad one. But you have work you are doing, and you want to, you start with your local government. Become a local government counselor. They will realize that somebody like you can be a counselor. You're not a troublemaker. If they want to fight over elections, say, I'm not fighting. I drop it. I know people that, they just decide that, look, the community want us to represent you. I want you to represent us. So they came, come and bribe. Say, I'm not bribing anybody. He refused to do everything they say he should do, but he still won the election. Why? He wasn't begging. So have something responsible you are doing. Then start with local government. Listen, the way Christians enter politics is the Daniel way and the Joseph way. Excellence. People will call you. There's one man I won't mention, not now, of course, he has died now. Everybody around that time, I will have mentioned they've died. But when he became governor of his own state those days, there was one big rich man, one of those very powerful people that are very influential. The man spent money and time to make him governor. At the end of the day, when he became governor, he went and met the man and said, sir, now we have become governor. What do you want? The man said, I judged you to be the best governor for my state. That's why I did what I did. Now go and be a good governor. I don't need anything from you. I know the names I could give you. I just want to give you the names now. He said, I made up my mind you are the best. And I have the influence, so I used it. Now I've put you in power. What do you owe me? Make sure this state comes out excellent.
Do you understand?
And God is still doing such things. The Lord is good. What is the offense for a man who sleeps with someone's wife? What does that mean? Okay, no, I'll tell you. What is the offense? You will die and go to hell. Your manhood will never rise again. That one you did is the last one. Unless you repent. Any other question? I believe that the blood of Jesus has delivered me from the power of darkness and every sacrifice. But I have received 3 prophecies from 3 different men of God to carry out family deliverance. Sir, what do I need to do? If you don't want to die, don't. The deliverance your family needs is for everybody there to believe in Christ Jesus. Please, sir, I happen to find out that the girl I detail was into married men. I need many questions to ask about this. So if you, no, really, it may sound funny, but whoever wrote this is having issues you want to discuss. So at the end of the day, when many people are talking around, okay, just stay around, talk to Pastor Kemute. He will answer. The reason is that there are many questions I need to ask, and we can't be asking them now. There are many questions. Because sometimes people, they take unbelieving relationships and bring it to a pastor to counsel. I don't counsel on unbelieving relationships. People have come to me many times, please, my friend wants to see you. About what? He's having some problem. I say, you remember that woman in Kingdom World on Saturday? We asked her one question, say, I'm not sure. I said, then you don't know enough. This person is not close enough. You are a disciple of this ministry. You are listening to the word of God that we are teaching. The person you are asking us concerning is not. So why are you bothering us with his issues? Because there are answers that are appropriate for certain groups of people. Disciples of Christ, they are the ones I talk to. They are the ones that want to know the way of Christ Jesus. So that's why I need to establish some things first. How did you get engaged to a woman who is into married men? Is that how they do in your church? Are you getting my point? Do you get the drift I'm going? I'm already trying to say, is a girl a Christian? And are you? Because whether she's into married men, or into single men, or into women, is irrelevant. An unbeliever is an unbeliever. If she's not into any of them, and she's not a Christian, you have no business there if you are true a Christian yourself. And if you are not, why are you worrying me? When they were saying, give your life to Christ, you should have joined them. In which case, all things have passed away. That girl has passed away. So if you those are the answers. But if I have not answered you enough, please see Pastor Kimuti. You ask some more questions and then you'll be able to answer it. Somebody says, if somebody hears the word and does not practice the word, will God bless the person? Now, this is my question. You, if you were God, will you bless the person? Obedience to the word is the blessing. But if you mean will God bless the person in another area, it depends. If it's a critical word, your life is stuck on that point in every area. Another question the fellow asked, can anger stop the blessing of God? You know now. Is that not what we read just now concerning Simeon and Levi? Yes, it can. The Bible says anger lies in the bosom of a fool. How can someone raise his or her own altar? Ah, it's simple. This is altar. When you wake up in the morning, raise your hand. Father, I worship you. I dedicate my life to you. I will obey Jesus in everything. I will obey your word. Fill me with your spirit again. Let us sing a song of worship. I have no other God but you. You sing it for 5 minutes. That's the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. You have raised an altar that morning. That altar will follow you everywhere you go. It will speak for you in heaven. But if you mean, where can I use money to raise my altar? Please, my brother, you don't need any of those altars. What I've just described now is the altar that God expects from us. The altar is in our hearts. It's a life lived as a living sacrifice. Okay? That's the altar. That is the altar. It's not as if some people now go to church and say they want to raise an altar with an offering. That's nonsense. Scrap. It's rubbish. Utter rubbish. You don't raise altar with cash. You raise altar with your heart. A life dedicated to serving God all the time. You raise altars with your tongue, worshiping God, praising Him. That's what you do. Uttering His word all the time. That is the altar. You don't raise altar with money. See, let me tell you the truth. Many of us pastors, now our business we do. Did you hear what I said? We are doing our business. I don't know what I mean by that. Some of these things we preach to you. Come and use money for this. That's how we get money. School fees is this week now. Your church will soon do program. You should know why. It's school fees week. There's an altar. Pastor has to pay school fees. I mean, all the staff, they have to pay school fees. So we need to get money. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying you should know. So what you just want to start that altar thing. Say, Pastor, there's no need. How much? There's no need for all this altar thing. Just say, brethren, all of you have paid your children's school fees. If many stars in the church, they have not paid. There's a special basket there for those who want to contribute to ministers' children's school fees. It sounds funny, but I wish churches would do that. I wish we would just do that. And you know, God has planted the spirit inside us. Many people will go there. Well, you know the one telling me yesterday, this morning, was it last night, that one of our brothers sent you a message, that he heard inside one of our messages that some missionaries cannot pay their children's school fees. So please, where is the opportunity to help them pay the school fees? That was the message you got yesterday. Because I was listening to one message I preached. And I just mentioned some things. Ah. The guy said, this kind of thing is happening in my life. I need to put something now. That's Christianity. That's not twist doctrine. Some of those doctrines you are falling up and down. It's a way by which you get money. I just like to say we. It's not as if I do it. It's only Okemute that does it. I'm just saying that. I'm just joking. He doesn't do it. Nobody does it. We don't do such things. But when I just say we, to let I don't like to point fingers. I like to just identify with my brethren. You know, sometimes they're not being wicked. That's the only thing they know. That's the only thing they know. One man told my wife once, that money I was supposed to pay for some things. I'm telling you, he told my wife this, that the boy who preached on Sunday, he didn't know. So they are still learning. So my wife came home and like, what? I said, just don't be angry. That I'll pay you next Monday. I'll be the one in church on Sunday. I know what to say. So don't worry about those altars, please. Okay? Can money be used as a sacrifice? I will answer it two ways. If it's a sacrifice to kill a sin, to ask for forgiveness, to redeem your life, no! No! How else can I say no?
No.
But many times, good works, okay? Before I say many times, good works is a sacrifice. So money is a form of good works. So go and read it. Philippians chapter 4. Paul said that he has received everything they sent, which is an offering of a sweet-smelling savour. But it was not the cash. He said, you have rekindled what? Your love for me. So when you love God, you spend money on the things of God. And the things of God includes your neighbor's problems, your pastor's problems, propagation of the gospel, helping the needy. Understand? Like now you can decide that, okay, this magazine, they are free, I take. I'm a student, I don't have money, but my friends wouldn't come for this meeting. I will dedicate some time to go and share the word with them and give them the magazines. That's word. That's work. It's a sacrifice. So what if you had money? You bought books, you bought CDs and went and gave to them. That's what a sacrifice. You go to church, your pastor, or, oh, Pastor Banky, you've been a blessing, take. That's a sacrifice. But it's not because you are paying for anything. It's just out of what? Love, gratitude in your heart to God. That is when money is a sacrifice. But in itself, it's not a sacrifice. You can never quote it for God, that God, I've done this, you do this for me. Can somebody challenge God with prayer? I don't know whether it is challenge. Just ask him to do what you want him to do. You call it any name you like, but ask God. Can you test God? If you want to live long, don't. So God said, prove me now. He didn't say that to you. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's the one I know. Just obey God and leave it there. I have an answer for this, but to drag, somebody said, can God regret his actions? Because he said that he grieved him that he placed man on the earth. Now, I won't discuss the details, but when you have to know what the Bible talks for. There's what theologians call anthropopathism. But sometimes the Bible speaks to help you understand how God will feel as a human being. That is, let me say, God, the Lord Jesus came, or let's just say God came, the Lord came down and came to Abraham, say, I've heard of the cries of the iniquity in Sodom. Let me now go and see whether it is like that. Is that he couldn't see from heaven? Do you understand? That's the way the Bible talks sometimes. What God was trying to do there is to let you know that when I judge them, even a human being will judge them too. So he came as a person to demonstrate his righteousness. Let's just leave it there. We can't discuss that. That's plenty of theology. My relationship with my father was poor. This is a summary of everything, please. You wrote longer, but I need to get somebody to help me summarize it. Before I became knowledgeable, and he used to curse me. Now our relationship is better, and he blesses me. Do I need to apologize for my past behavior? If you never did, yes, I think you should. It's just proper. If your behavior was the reason why he used to curse you and the way you used to do things and you never spoke about it, I think you should. So just go to him. There are some African things we do which are good. Like you go with a bottle of wine. Don't just go with, I mean, Bill, sorry, I used to talk to you. I wasn't good. That's American behavior which will kill you. You understand my point? Don't try it. You call your father Bill. If I were God, I collect my blessing. I'm not giving you a gift. The way we do in Africa, I like it. You go, sometimes, there was one I did one day, my mother-in-law said, ha, Banky, you can dream of some things. It was just Christmas time. I said, how do I honor my wife's parents? I'm just thinking of it. Normally, we take gifts and all of that. So that year, I went and gathered my friends. About 3 or 4 of them, they came with me. I brought wine. You know, all those things we do for traditional marriage. So, you know, normally when I marry from Delta, so you go with friends to go and initially, you know, those kind of stages. I just took one of the stages and reenacted it. We brought wine, and if you are greeting in Delta, you put cola down and wedge it with money. You don't just put cola down. That's in the East, you put cola, but there, once you put cola, you must put cash with it. Okay? So I just did that. We brought out cola, put cash there, brought wine. Then one of my friends now made a speech. What was the speech? The friends of Banky have come to thank my parents-in-law for delivering him from being single. For giving him a good... I know, we call my parents-in-law down and see something's just... I mean, with gifts, with wine, with everything just down. And they all made a speech. And when we finished, we all knelt down. And, you know, it's Delta. You say, Migo, that is which means I'm on my knee. We all knelt down and greeted them. My mother-in-law said, you can dream of some strange things. They have never seen that type before. We're just looking, what do we do just to make them happy this end of the year? I said, let me come and thank them for giving me a wife. All right? So sometimes just do some of these things. Yes, call a few of your friends. Say, Daddy, I want to officially apologize for bad behavior. He will bless you so much, you wouldn't believe it. Let me tell you the story of one young man I had. My pastor in Lagos told me those days. He and his brothers and sisters, they quarreled with their parents. Serious quarrel. So that day, I think their parents did something. The children tear shirt. They vex. So they were really rude to their parents. You see, at the end of the day, now, this young man was one telling the story to this pastor. At the end of the day, his own conscience smote him, like the Bible talked about David after cutting the skirt of Saul. So you know what he did? He went to his father, and they are Yoruba people. So he prostrated fully on the ground, you know, and told his father he was very sorry. And his father did something. He pointed at him and said, "You, it will be well with you." You didn't notice the way he said it? You. I don't know, you know the implication of that? Why was he telling the story? He said he has looked over their life. That's the only explanation he has for why he's the only one things are going on well for in the house. None of his siblings has things balanced. None. They are never balanced. Money problem, marriage problem, one problem after the other. So he just looked and remembered that one day my father said, "You, it will be well with you." Don't take those things lightly. Some of you are angry with your father for nothing. I just look at you. That's why you will cross the express now. You know what that means? Okay, you have repented. So, is Keke? Keke will just push you into a gutter and you won't know why. You have been working for 2 years. Your father has not drank your tea. He said he has his own life to live. There is a reason why the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Please, once you leave here, disappear to where they are buying rice. Chicken. Say, "I don't have money." There are times you need to borrow to deliver yourself from nonsense. Go home. He said, "What is happening?" "Nothing. I just said this weekend. The man will be wondering, what is going on here? If God has blessed you small, please. Go. Not look at his wardrobe and call one serious tailor. I don't mean carpenter. I mean tailor. So when they finish sewing clothes, whether a hammer they use, I mean. Bless the man. Let him bless you. It's important too. God didn't take that one lightly with us. All right? As much as it depends on you, follow peace with all men. Which one is this one? Have you read the long story? Somebody wrote a long story which this man of God cannot summarize. A prophet saw a vision that the ritual was done to protect a boy from dying when he was small. The mother was a Christian and did not agree to it. The father went ahead. The child is grown now. According to the prophet, there are things that will be bought for Thanksgiving in the church to replace to replace the original traditional things used for the ritual. These things are said to be done for the boy to start prospering. Nonsense. Okay, let me finish reading that. I want to know whether, if of course it's not scriptural, what kind of rubbish is that? How can Babalawo initiate procedure, will complete it in church? Having begun in the spirit, you want to complete it in the flesh? The Bible makes it clear, if you start your wahala, complete your wahala. You think God is playing relay with the idols? Yeah, take over, continue in the church. I've heard this kind of thing before. Nonsense things. I beg you, a piece of wrapper, yam. Okuko. Let me tell you, the answer is no. When Jesus paid for you on the cross, he paid completely. If the Babalawo won't sacrifice, say, "Me, so go see Jesus." Jesus will say to him on your behalf. Did you hear what I said? If he wants balance, say Jesus has paid the balance. He's going to meet Christ Jesus. Say, "You they owe me." If he has the mouth to say it to Christ, then you can collect. In Christ Jesus, you are totally free. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are now new. What you are experiencing is the new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. What you are experiencing is the new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. I said, what you are experiencing is the new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. You don't need to pay anybody. You don't owe any spirit anything to pay them for what your father is owing. Please, many of these prophets have told you, they initially were DBS too. Just because you stopped coming to the shrine, so they came to your church. What I've told you is a matter of fact. They were DBS too. It's your problem is that you didn't come again. So they say, "Where is he now? He's now going to church." Now the guy too buys suit. Jerry calling her small, cram a few messages. Faith is when you are believing the word of God. You see, tell your neighbor, you can walk by the Spirit. Tell your neighbor. It's when Muhammad did not go to the mountain again. Mountain come to Muhammad. So mountain and Muhammad are now in the same church. That's the problem. So please, my people, our Christ is not like that. When he needed a sacrifice, you know what he did? He prepared a body. You know, that's what Jesus said. a body that has prepared for me. Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. So he prepared a body. And I said, I've come to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. Jesus came to do the will, to satisfy everything that God wanted. Everything in your life has been satisfied.
Amen.
Once you have given your life to Christ, you have transferred every debt to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are free in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. Let us pray. Let's give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the freedom that I have in Christ Jesus. Thank you. All things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Give the Lord thanks. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am not a subject of sorcery. Satan cannot hold me down. No evil will befall me. Say, Lord, I thank you because no plague will come near my dwelling place. No enchantment works against me. No witchcraft works against me because I am in Christ Jesus, because I'm the Israel of God. Father, we give you praise. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ.